Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are located in Clearwater, Florida, but we are a global ministry, and we are reaching out today on this radio broadcast, as we do every single Sunday afternoon, and just to share the Word of God with you and to talk about the principles found in God's Word and how they impact our daily lives. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Here in the studio with me is one of our radio team members. And Connie, you were one of the originals, and you have stayed with it all. We are in our seventh year on the air. You know, it's amazing. And here we are, 7 years, well, not quite 7 years, but 6.5 years from our first show. You and Nathan were in this studio with me, and we recorded that instead of going live that day.
Well, that was a mess. That just was a mess.
Well, we thought that, you know, it would be better so we could go back and fix things and change things that we said. But we found out that day that that's not the way you do radio. You do it live.
Just do it live. Fly by the seat of your pants.
Fly by the seat of your pants. Do it live. And so we've been doing that ever since. And what a joy to have this outreach ministry. I mean, I love it. I know you do. And our radio team, we're going to be joined in a little while by Carol from Georgia on our radio team. And every one of you that are a part of this team, Pastor Jim and Betty and Megan and everybody, Megan. Yeah, it's just great, isn't it? It's just a joy. Nan, the whole gang, different Nathan, different personalities, different interests, different things going on, backgrounds.
And it's the diversity that we have.
We do. Different jobs, we're educational. Backgrounds are different, but I think that's kind of cool. That just brings that variety to the show.
Melting pot.
Yeah, we are. We are. Yeah. But we are all gathered around the central truth of God's Word.
And as I was doing the music last night,
right?
I looked and I could not believe that this is show number 329.
So 329.
That means it's been 29 weeks since the first of the year.
Right.
Because the first of the year was the
300 show, the first Sunday of January.
So that's crazy.
Time is just flying by. Mm-hmm. It's been I was thinking that yesterday. This time, this year has just flown by. There's been a lot going on. A lot going on. And you have the internet right up there to my email. And if you want to join us today on the air by your comments or a question, we'd love to hear from you. We've got it right up here in front of Connie. And it's pastor@bohmglobal.com. pastor@bohmglobal.com. But you also have an email that I just got from my son, Ryan, which is a picture of my little great-granddaughter.
She's the oldest.
She's the firstborn this week. Aaliyah Ryan was born first, and her identical twin sister, Briley Lee, came right after her just a couple minutes later. Well, actually, 11 minutes later. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And my granddaughter and her wonderful guy, Cole, have become the parents to these beautiful little girls. So we're excited. It's been a journey with them, Connie, because at 23 weeks, she had some real problems. She could have lost these babies, couldn't she? It was pretty serious.
Yeah, if they were born then, it would have been not very good.
Not good. And she held out till 35 weeks, and here they are, and they're beautiful. And this picture of Aaliyah, and she's like 4 days old. Her eyes are open, and the breathing apparatus is gone, and she's just doing great. So so is her sister, Briley, and we are so excited. I'm going to go visit them here soon and get to meet my little great-granddaughters. So this is just a fun time in our family, and we thank God for the way he answered prayer, because that's what it's all about. Connie, you work in the NICU all the time. That's what you do. And you've seen all kinds of things happen to, and babies having issues and problems. And
that's a good picture to put a caption to.
It is, isn't it?
A good one, yeah.
Yeah, this new picture of Aaliyah sitting here with her eyes open, and Cedric, I'm a great grandma. It's happened. It's wonderful.
Well, you're beaming.
I am. I'm so excited. The girls are gorgeous. They listen to this. They got black spiky hair, and we're not sure why.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Did they come out with black spiky hair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They both have black spiky hair. So that's kind of good. My granddaughter was laughing about it because, yeah, they have it all over their heads. So kind of cool.
But very cool.
Yeah, they were 4 pounds, 7 ounces and 4 pounds, 15. So we thank God. You know, Connie, that's an answer to prayer. How God has sustained my granddaughter through all this. These babies are beautiful and they're healthy and everything's great with them. And God did this. That was just a matter of prayer for our ministry. Carol up in Georgia, she'll join us in a little while. And I tell you, she wrote so many prayers during the last 3 or 4 months and believing God for these little girls to be delivered safely. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, for a moment when Carol comes on the air. Yeah. But it's exciting.
Well, you know, no matter how much technology has advanced and the equipment and everything that we have to take care of babies, there's nothing better than the bread basket or the womb.
Keep them in the womb. Yeah. Yes. And Ryland did. She did the best she possibly could and kept them that long. So they're born healthy and whole. Those of you that are out there in Radio Land that have prayed for this, we got a great answer to prayer this week. So we have a great show in store. And it's really kind of a... it's going to be a really intense show, I believe, Connie, because we're talking about love, loving God, loving people. We've been in the book of 1 John now for several weeks. We're going to be wrapping it up soon, alive with these five chapters in 1 John, life-changing stuff. Loving people and how we go about that, what does that mean, what is God doing in our hearts. This should be a good show and intense.
They're always good shows.
They're always good shows, aren't they? Yes. So if you have your Bible, run to 1 John, clear back almost to the end of your Bible, and we will get there in just a moment. Connie, you're the musical director for the show, always have been for all these years, and this song is by the group New Song, Choose to Love. I have never heard it. Is it a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Choose to Love. I'm sure it fits in perfectly to our discussion we're about to have.
Here on the battle line, you're on your side, I'm on mine. We've built a wall so high, one brick at a time. Was it pride or was it fear? The reason's still unclear, but here we are, a world apart. What if we stood with hearts wide open, ready to start again? What if we let God's grace take over, learn to forgive and forget? What if we choose? We choose
What if we stood with hearts wide open, ready to start again? That could not have been a more perfect song for this discussion. I wrote down some of these words since I've never heard this song. What if we choose to love? And I really want to talk about that, Connie, because it's not something that is easy to do. And we're going to start with 1 John, and we're going to talk about this. But this is going to bring some good discussion today on this show.
Some people aren't lovable.
Some people aren't lovable.
They don't appear to be lovable.
They are difficult. Let's put it this way, difficult. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down this line from that song. What if we lay our weapons down and then the walls fall down? You know? Whoa. Wow. What if there's mercy for our mistakes? What if there is mercy for our mistakes?
Well, we know there is.
We know there is.
But we don't always give other people mercy.
Oh, no, we don't. No, we're judgmental by mm-hmm. nature. Human nature is judgmental. We talked about this Wednesday night in Bible study, and actually we're going to go there in a minute. To Matthew chapter 7 in just a moment. But let's start this discussion with 1 John 4:7. My beloved friends, I'm reading now the Message Bible. Let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. And I want to point out the word continue. Continue to love. Okay? In verse 7 of 1 John 4 in the Message Bible. And it says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Now, it's not easy to continue to love. That's something I want to talk about in just a few minutes. The continuing to love, because things happen in our lives and we write people off. This happens in so many situations in all of our lives. And that's why I said this show today is extremely timely, probably for a lot of our listeners and people who will hear it later on our website, because it is not always easy to continue to love when people hurt you, when people respond in a hateful way towards you, or they are resentful of you, or whatever the case may be. So let's read what John wrote here in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. Now, that, by the way, is why we can love unlovable and difficult people, because everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. When we have that relationship with God, which, by the way, let's skip up to verse 2, I believe it is, in the Message Bible. It is. Verse 2 in 1 John 4 says this. Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses, that's the key right there, refuses to confess faith in Jesus, has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which means anti that anointing of God that you heard was coming. Now, this genuine test has everything to do with our faith in God. We cannot love the unlovable without that personal relationship with God, Connie. I mean, in our human nature, you and I have lived a few years here, just a couple. For me to be a great grandmother, you know I've lived a few.
I'm not old enough for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not, but I am. I am.
Obviously, you are.
Yeah, obviously. But, you know, after having pastored since I was, very young, 15. In my 20s. Yeah, actually. Long time that I first became a youth pastor, and have dealt with people in congregations through the years and see that we are all human. We are all prone to mistakes. We are all prone to errors in judgment. We are all prone to gossip. We are all prone to these things, that hatred and bitterness and resentment. That's human nature. That's why we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We can't do this on our own. We can't do it. You know, we are just going to mess up over and over again. Even the disciples that followed Jesus for 3 years and walked with him day and night were impulsive, angry sometimes.
Jealous of each other.
Jealous of each other, envious. I mean, we could give you all kinds of examples. But John, who wrote this, his brother was James. John and James were known as sons of thunder. Jesus gave them a nickname because they were wild guys, and they were all the time wanting to call down thunder from heaven and or lightning and strike back bad guys down. I mean, you know, that's really...
Wouldn't that be cool to have that power, though?
Wow. But, you know, I mean, that's one thing I love about this book of John. It is realistic. John followed Jesus around. He was the closest to Jesus on this earth. He's the one who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Gospel John and the book of Revelation. But nowhere does it say that John was perfect and that he had gotten to a place where he was always reacted correctly, always did the right thing and said the right thing.
But he was the one that Jesus loved.
He's the one that Jesus loved. But you see, he was passionate, I believe. And we had a show on this. I think it was last week or the week before. Passionate. About the Lord, being passionate about this love walk. And go back to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, if you missed the series and catch up, because there are all these shows are there. And one of them is about being passionate for God. Listen to that one. It was a great show. But that's what John was and his brother James were. They were passionate about how to walk the walk that God has called us to walk. And it involves this love. And that's why this song you just put on here.
See, it just amazes me because...
it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I always, as I'm doing the music, okay,
right.
We're listening to the songs and thinking about which ones to use and praying about it. There are things that I don't hear.
Right.
In the words. I mean, I don't usually have the words printed out.
Right.
You know, in front of me. Because nowadays, when you buy music online... you get a, you know how you have the packet,
yeah.
The insert?
Right.
And the old...
and the old CDs and albums.
Or the old albums,
right.
How you could read all this stuff.
Right.
Well, it comes digitally with it.
Right.
If you buy the whole album. But then you got to open it and, you know, search
right.
through it. So, but it never ceases to amaze me when I sit down here, at, like, especially when I'm on the show.
Right.
And I sit here and I listen to the words. I always hear something I'd never heard.
But this
always.
Song was so perfect.
Perfect.
What if there really is mercy for our mistakes? You know? And I told you as I've been praying about what this show was to be today, it's different than our service this morning at Beacon. Some of our people are probably listening in. This is not going to be a repeat of this morning. We're going a different angle. We are going into that whole area of how do you take the truths of how much God loves us, the fact he lives on the inside of us, and apply that on a daily basis. How does this gospel of love translate in our daily behavior? And it has to. Connie, if it doesn't translate into our daily behavior, what are we? We're broken, sad, distressed people.
Mess.
Right. We are. And we only come out of that as the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of us, changes us into people of love. And that's really what we need to talk about. I mean, it's easy. I'm sitting here. Look, you still got the picture of my great-granddaughter right up here. I'm looking at Aaliyah, look at me in those gorgeous eyes right here, and thinking how much I love her and her twin sister, Briley, already. I love them, but I don't know them yet. I don't know the personality they have or anything, but there is a love that is placed in my heart. Mm-hmm. You love them. Our mm-hmm. whole church family mm-hmm. loves them because we've all been praying and believing for their safe arrival, you know?
Yeah.
But yet you don't really know them yet.
Mm-mm. But I don't know any of the babies that I take care of, really.
Well, at the hospital,
mean,
right.
I begin yeah. to know them, and I know that some of the things that I do for them make their lives better.
Yes, because you work in the NICU. You understand this whole concept of the NICU, which, by the way, NICU stands for?
Neonatal Intensive Care Unit.
Intensive Care Unit for these babies, yeah. Which, and, but you can pray over them, which you do, and you're believing, and I've been doing that. We've all been doing that since we found out that my granddaughter was carrying these babies. We have been praying and believing God for safe delivery for both of these little girls, and it happened.
For as bad as it all could have been.
Oh, I know.
And see, that's what the miracle part is to sit here and look at that picture.
Yeah.
And her just with nothing on her face.
Right.
No breathing apparatus
at all.
And she's got her arms up over her head and making a face that you could, you know, send in somewhere to do a caption, I'm sure. And a caption contest. But, you know, it's nothing but a miracle.
Oh, totally. She's only like 5 days old. But
every baby's a miracle, really.
Really. Absolutely. So, and you know, we see her. God looks at us as his children. Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 3. I did use this verse this morning. It's great, but it really illustrates how God feels about us. 1 John 3:1, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Wow. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. I love that verse. Do you have it in a different translation there?
Mm-hmm.
In the NIV?
NIV. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God.
Yes.
And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him.
Amen. Amen. So people around us that maybe don't realize we're born again Christians, that we love the Lord with all our heart, that we've accepted Jesus into our hearts, they may not have any concept of how the presence of God in a person's heart and life can change them. And that's what this show's about, because in our own strength, we cannot make the changes that we need to make. We just can't do it.
Mm-mm.
You know, back to chapter 4 of 1 John, down in verse 13 of 1 John 4. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. And so here's the first point we want to make on the show. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. So that's 13 through 16. You want to read that in the NIV, Connie? Because I think that some people are more familiar with that translation.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God.
Amen.
And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him.
Whoa. That's his whole nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, verse 8 of 1 John 4 says God is love. You see it in verse 17 again. God is love. You know, that is the way he's made up. He's made up of, he's love. He's just sheer love. It's almost like we can't, our minds can't comprehend our God loving us to the extent that he does. And I mean, I just throw that out to you, Connie. Why do you think we have trouble accepting this love of God?
Well, some of us have worthiness issues. Some of us have God issues because they just think God is somebody that sits up there waiting to whack you in the head
or
something every time you screw up.
Right.
So I think it depends on where you come from spiritually.
Right.
And emotionally.
Right.
But I don't know. It seems like it's been a long time that we've been teaching that God is love.
Yes.
And that you would think people would catch on.
You know, I was thinking the same thing this morning as I was teaching. The devil was saying to me, and I was just like resisting it, people have heard this. People have heard this. People have heard this. You know?
Today in the service?
Yes.
We may have heard it, but we didn't hear it like we heard it today.
And there's always...
It was different.
It was different. There's always a fresh approach that the Holy Spirit does. and allows us to see God in an enhanced way, I guess is what I want to say. I recently finally got a decent TV. I've had the same.
One that doesn't weigh 90 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, oh, no. It took two men to lift my old one. It was ridiculous. One of those very old dinosaurs. You know,
it
was a great TV. It lasted 13 and a half years, my TV. But it was like a 35-inch, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so it was the old style.
Oh yeah,
big screen.
The great big deal.
Had the back of
the
it
back
was like
that
this
came
deep.
Out that far.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I had one like that.
And
too.
Seriously, it took two men to lift this thing. Okay, it was just a monstrosity. Okay, well, finally went to Jesus. Praise God. I mean, it's gone. So I finally, and now I'm finally able to shop for a new TV. You know, actually. It was still working.
And they're not that expensive.
But they're not very expensive. And I thought, okay, it's still working, but it's going and it's got issues. I'm going to finally invest, okay? And it was very cheap, the TV I got. But it's so thin that I could carry it myself.
Put it under your arm.
Right. You know? But the difference now, seeing this perspective has changed everything, you know? Now I am thinking, whoa. I put up with this so long, you know, and I didn't want to invest and didn't want to, you know, spend that money, whatever. But now here's the point I'm getting to. Finally, I know you're both going, where are you going? Here
it's
we go.
It's your baseball games, isn't it?
My baseball games.
She can see every blade of grass on the field.
Everything. It's HD. And I am seeing everything. Oh, my gosh. You know, a little stitch.
There's a stitch on the balls. You can see as it's coming to
I love it. And I'm like, the very first thing I watched was a Rays game. The very first thing I watched was a Rays game, who, by the way, are doing excellently. Yeah. And I'm just about as proud of the Rays as I am of my granddaughter. Is Carol on? So, Carol, I finally got an HD TV.
Okay.
And
I think that's wonderful.
But the difference between the old TV, where it was okay, but sometimes the picture would roll, you know, and it would just keep going for a while and stuff like that.
But how many baseballs have you dodged now?
I know it. It is so cool. The clarity is what I'm trying to get to. The clarity has changed my life. Okay.
Well, that's God's mission.
There you go. There you go.
Provides us with clarity, which therefore changes our lives. If we have a clouded vision of God and what God is really about, and if he really, we're not sure he really cares for us individually,
right.
Then we have no clarity.
That's it. And you know, Carol, so many people, like Connie just said, I mean, the devil was saying to me today as I was preaching, but it was a powerful sermon. I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. I took two pages of notes.
But it's Holy Spirit. I say that and as a joke.
Well, we know that.
But I always...
Of course, I guess people that wouldn't...
They may think that sounds conceited. And I don't mean it that way, because I tell you it is all the Holy Spirit. The way it comes out, that is the Holy Spirit. Just like these shows. And the clarity this morning in this whole concept of how much God loves us and how his love changes our lives, Carol, that's what we're talking about. How this, his love, can actually make it look like our whole life becomes in HD versus my old 14-year-old TV or 13-and-a-half-year-old TV that would roll occasionally, you know, and you couldn't see
the... You're saying that HD is high divinity.
Oh, high
That's
divinity,
good.
Carol, whoa. High divinity, yes, and I thought it was high definition, and here I was wrong, but high divinity, and exactly. Carol, this is what we've got to get to, realizing that God's love in us absolutely changes us from one type of person into another.
It does indeed.
And you know, Carol, so often I think we get hung up thinking we can never let go of the old bitternesses, the old resentments, all of that stuff, that it will never be a quote-unquote new day for us. But it is.
But you live long enough without
right.
the Spirit of God, you
right.
will understand when the Spirit of God, you allow it to enter.
Amen.
You will understand that those old days are gone, they're past, they're through, they're over.
Yes.
And you've gone through You've lived through the pits of hell.
Right.
Because
right.
if you're living without God, you're living through the pits of hell.
Right. Exactly.
So and if you're living through the pits of hell, and then all of a sudden something strikes a chord, something that someone has mentioned to you 20 years ago, or the confidence and the prayerfulness of your friends and family, you realize that God is present in you. He's been there all the time. He's been dormant because you keep squashing him down.
Right.
And once you get that out of your system, it is a new dawn. It's a new day.
Yes.
Everything is gone. Like the song said, when we lay our weapons down, and our weapons are hatred,
yes.
discord,
yes.
lack of faith, everything that keeps us from the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is a weapon that has to be laid down.
And you quoted that, and I had written it on my paper here. When those we lay our weapons down, then the walls begin to fall down. You know, because these weapons so often, they Connie's got a point here. Talk, Connie.
Go ahead.
Well, the weapons keep us at war with people around us, you know?
At war within our own selves.
And yes. war within our own selves, yes. Yes.
You know, there may be a part of a person that says, you know, I really want to be involved in some spirituality. Maybe I just like to play the piano or something at church. But then here comes the defining force that says you can't do that. You're not
right.
good enough.
Yes, yes.
So we have to lay that part of us
yes.
down and say, Lord, you know, I'm not the best pianist. I can play pretty good, but I'd really like to have a little group, maybe at a children's church or something in my church, that
right.
I'd like to play. And you start asking him, you will be divinely blessed, and you'll play.
Amen. But and that's exactly right. But so often it's our, and I mentioned this morning, rooted in fear, our insecurities, our feeling that we're not good enough, that we can't step out in ministry, that we, God cannot use us. Oh, Connie, give us your comment on that. We'll go back to Carol on that, because I think this is a devil. Devil works overtime to make people feel insecure and unworthy.
Well, when you already have your own self-esteem issues or worthiness issues,
right?
That he just, you know, he plays on you like a fiddle,
doesn't he?
Yeah, and makes you feel even less. And it's almost like everything you do is hyper resonant. You know, it's
oh,
like
okay,
it just echoes how stupid you are, how dumb you are. How could you do something like that?
Oh yeah,
you know, and it just keeps blah, 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 blah.
Oh, the devil loves to do that, and that's yeah. called condemnation.
Yes,
and Romans 8:1 says there is
therefore
now no condemnation mm-hmm. for those who are in Christ Jesus. Talk about that, Carol, because this is a huge trick of the devil.
Well, I think there's so many things that we can do to foil the devil. Number one, we've got to take ourselves away from his voice. If you're sitting alone and you're bored and you think nobody cares for you or whatever, you've got to put yourself forward.
That's
you
right.
make yourself do it through God's grace. You say, Lord, what can I do?
Right.
How can I change this feeling of inadequacy in myself? And then someone says, you know, the library wants somebody to read. All you got to do is, you know, go through a criminal check and sit there and read to the kids.
Right.
Or you can go to a nursing home.
Right.
And you can write letters for old people. When you quit thinking about your miserable, self-loathing, despicable self and start thinking, Lord, how can you use me?
That's so true.
We'll show you the way, and your life will be glorified. You will glorify the people around you that you work with or for. There are so many opportunities to step outside of our miserable, God-forsaken mind that we don't choose to change.
Right. You know, and back to this point about my great-granddaughters, and Carol, you can congratulate me now, any moment now, on this. Carol.
Oh, well, you know, I heard you were having a granddaughter that was going to give birth to twins.
Yes, identical twin girls.
Oh, my goodness.
With spiked black
and
hair.
And they have spiked black hair.
Spiked black hair, yeah. That's pretty darn cool. Yeah.
And you had nothing to do with that birth, right?
I actually did not have anything to do with the birth, but they do have black spiked hair like me, so that's pretty darn cool.
And, you know, you've worn that for a very long time.
I have.
I am sure that you imprinted that on Rylan.
Rylan has teased me about my hair for a long time, so
that's why her kids have it.
That's why her kids have it, and she and I laughed on the phone the other night about it. So,
that's right. See, you imprinted, and when you imprinted it on her, she's going, I hope they don't have spiky hair like Nana Florida.
You're right. And
the first thing that comes out is this spiky hair.
I can't wait to send you this latest picture that my son just sent here that Connie and I have been sitting here looking at of Aaliyah. But, you know, Carol, with all that said, you know, what a answer to prayer. What a way. I mean, we could have all said at 23 weeks, the day that Rylan almost lost these babies, we could have all said, oh, that's too bad. She lost the babies.
Yep. Or,
but instead, you sent out prayers. We started, the prayer team went nuts over this. And we all began to pray and believe God for the miracle because we approached God knowing that he loves us all so much. It's not his will. Death, destruction, that's not his will. He wants us to claim these victories. And we did that, and we joined in prayer. And even though we felt, I did, weepy at times, mm-hmm. and thinking, oh my, you know, and what's going to happen here? And yet,
and it increases your own faith.
Oh, yes.
Because you know now that when new little babies come, like Connie says, every baby is a miracle. And that's true.
Yes.
And when they come, you have to adjust your role into thinking, whether you're just a family friend or a relative, of how do I prepare to help these young girls through their life in the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I've been doing that in prayer and intercession for them for weeks now and believe in God for their, you know, their health, their safety, their safe arrival, all that. And that's because I realize that how much I love them and I have not yet physically met them, you know.
You love Jesus.
I love Jesus. And that's that love within us. That's what we're talking about.
Have you ever met him?
I know him pretty well. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't actually seen
it's easy to love when the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit are entwined in your body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your soul and your mind. It's easy to love another of God's creation.
But we're going to talk on this show about difficult people here in a few minutes.
Oh, brother.
And there are times that we all face difficult people. We're going to go to Matthew 7 in just a moment. But I love this song that I asked Connie to put on today, and it is C.C. Winans, His Strength is Perfect. One of my favorite songs. We use it a lot on this show. And the reason we do is it talks about in our weakness, His strength is perfect. And it comes from a verse in 1 Corinthians that Paul actually said, that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Even Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, understood that there were times that he didn't behave in a godly way. In fact, Romans chapter 7, for those of you out there that want to make a note, Romans 7 is Paul saying, you know, I just keep doing the things I don't want to do. I keep reacting in a way that I don't want to react in. I keep messing up. I keep saying the wrong thing. I keep stepping in it. You know, Romans chapter 7 is as Paul just saying, I don't want to be the way I am sometimes, yet I still do it.
And, well, you know, when we're seeking to find God's will, we can easily turn to Jeremiah 6:16.
What's that say?
It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk on it. If you do not, you will find, if you do, you will find rest for yourselves.
Oh, amen.
They have said, we will not walk on the good way. And there are folks who simply will not walk the good way.
That's
and they
right.
won't walk in God's will.
You're right.
But eventually, life comes in such a direction that you have to realize you might have made some mistakes and you need to clear them up right away.
Well, and that's what this show's about. This is going to be a nitty-gritty discussion in just a moment about those difficult people in all of our lives and what does God expect us to do? How should we react? It's easy to love a little baby right here looking at Aaliyah and Briley and that they are, you know, they've not given us any attitude. But I know that when they're 15 or 16, it's going to be a little bit different, you know?
Oh,
and
of course.
There will be attitude.
It
you know?
Is compelling for everybody that comes in contact with them.
Yeah.
Show them the standard
right.
that Jesus has set for
Amen.
Them in their lives and the people that surround them that are not there by accident.
Yes, absolutely, Carol. Good point. Let's go to this song and then we'll talk in a minute. His Strength is Perfect, one of my favorite songs.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Because there are so many times in our lives that we don't have an answer how to handle a difficult situation or how to handle something that has happened that is wrong, that is absolutely we've been wronged. Let's go to Matthew 7:1, and I'm reading now the Message Bible. Don't pick on people. I love that. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures or criticize their faults. I'm going to have you read it in the NIV in a minute, Connie. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. I love this text. It really calls it out. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. Boomerang is something you throw up in the air and it comes right back and hits you in the head. Mm-hmm. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? Let's just stop right there. Read all that in the NIV. It's, I don't know what verses I stopped at. Just wherever. Just okay. Go with it.
Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged.
Right.
And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Boy, isn't that good stuff. Don't judge. Don't pick on people and jump on their failures and criticize their faults. And, wow, you say, what does that have to do with this whole study of 1 John? It's all about loving, and it's all about loving people. In fact, John says very clearly, here's what you got to do. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Carol, I saw a bumper sticker a couple days ago, and I wanted, if I can ever find it, it's a heart, a red heart, and the red heart, and then it says, heart God, heart people. And that's the essence of the book of 1 John. Love God, love people, and it's not always easy to do. We fall into this trap of picking, don't we?
Because somebody lets us get by with it.
Okay.
You
right.
know, if you're teaching in a classroom,
right.
and that
you're
bullying and that picking starts,
right.
the authority figure is there, and that should be the teacher.
Right. Amen.
And they should stop it. Well, we have a teacher. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And if we continue to do those things to other people, it will be done unto us.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you, because, and I love, Carol, the way the Message Bible says here, that it's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. And then it says that critical spirit has a way of boomeranging, you know, and I've played with boomerangs, haven't we all, at some point in our lives, you know, from Australia, that's the symbol for Outback Restaurant, right? And it's a boom, and my favorite restaurant, by the way. And you can throw that boomerang up in the air, but it is going to come back to you, you know, and that's what's the fun of playing with the boomerang. But it's not so fun when you put out criticism, judgment, anger, hostility, hatred, and it comes back. That's not fun.
You know, there has to be a point in a Christian's life when they simply say, it ain't about me.
There you go.
You know, very simply, very Southernish, it ain't about me.
Good point.
It's about what God sees in me that will make me be better as I speak to him and ask him for change.
Right.
You know, God loves you personally, powerfully, passionately.
Right.
Others have promised and failed.
Right.
I mean, how many times have people been through relationships, good, bad, or indifferent? And realize that love isn't equal. It's never going to be equal.
Right, right.
You know, God loves us passionately.
Yes, he does.
Personally.
Yes, he does.
And powerfully.
Whoop! Oh, I got to write that down. Wait a minute. What'd you say? You said that passionately?
God loves you personally, powerfully, passionately.
That's really good.
Okay. And you see, we don't love God back that way.
Right.
The love is never on a 50-50 scale. I don't care if it's you and 10 other people that you have professed to love in your lifetime.
Right.
You know, the only person who truly, truly loves you for all of your good things, all of your ordinary things, all of your Starla Watson days is God.
And we sometimes think it's our mamas, but a lot of times our mamas even fail us, you know?
Like us.
Well,
I mean,
not everybody, you know, you can have a mama, but not everybody has a mother.
Right. Well, that's true. And, you know, a lot of people have grown up in very abusive home lives where the mother was extremely critical. The mother was mean and nasty and judgmental, all of this, and did not radiate God's love through those parents, whether it be the mother or the father. This happens. I hear it all the time. Connie, you and I have heard it, and Carol, for years in counseling, the three of us have heard these stories over and over again, and they're heartbreaking stories where people were mistreated. And you've lived it.
I have lived it.
Yeah.
I did not have a mother that was tender and kind. I had a mother
right.
that taught me a lot.
Right.
But she was not tender and kind. And never. She told me she loved me about 2 days before she laid herself down in bed and said she was dying with cancer.
Wow.
And I looked at her and I said, what am I supposed to do with that?
But she had not been telling you all your life?
I never heard it. I never heard it till she called us over that afternoon. I got off work. I was still teaching. Went over to her home and walked up onto the doorstep. And she stepped out of the door and hugged me. She said, "You do know I love you."
Wow.
And I pulled back, no warmth, no tenderness, and I was as cold as an ice pop. And I stepped back and I said, "And what am I supposed to do with that?"
Because that's
What'd
the first
say?
Time. Yeah, go ahead.
And she didn't say anything. And I said, "You know, there are times in life when things come too little and too late."
Right.
I said, "So, you know, I appreciate the fact that you said that. I don't know how to deal with it." I said, "But I will take it into consideration."
and
I have. You know, I have looked for my mother in other people.
Right.
Well, you know, I like warm, fuzzy people.
Right.
People who like to laugh and be, and you know they're genuine and all of that. And I have found my mother in different people.
Mm-hmm. Good point. That's a good way to look at it.
I had a birth mother. It was not in her to be a mama. In fact, the one day I called her mama, she about knocked me against a wall.
Wow.
And I said, "Okay, then I won't do that again."
Wow.
But I'll still call Jesus. And she was a very spiritual person in her own ways. And I told her, I said, "You know, you don't accept me for who I am, but Jesus does. So
Amen.
Which one do I love the most?"
Amen. Connie's got a question for you.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you responded in a human way because of all the hurts that you've had in the past.
Right.
And to most people listening, probably that sounds like how they would respond. That's how I would respond if that was my situation.
Right.
And I was thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, in our service today, how you were talking about how we should love unconditionally. And,
right.
And when people hurt you, you know. And I was thinking, how else would, I don't know that I could have answered it any other way if I was
right.
in that same situation.
We don't condemn you, Carol, for answering it that way. We understand
that. Lord didn't condemn me for it.
No.
I was able to say what was on my heart.
Right.
And yet
exactly.
I took care of her
but
for
yet,
as long
right.
as possible.
But you took
right.
care of her yeah. physically as she died of cancer. So
yeah.
what does that show, Carol? That shows your love. Connie has to comment on that here.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know. I mean, it just seems, I mean, how would we ever get to that point where we could just say, "I love you too"? Or, I mean, we would never be at that point, given the things that transpired up to that point. How would you ever be? I mean, I just don't. I mean,
only as God.
Well,
but
know,
even if you had God in your
done,
heart.
And I really worked at it very hard in that respect was I tried to be tender and loving and kind to my friends, to the people that I don't know. And in the ministry that was done in that cancer center, Winship Cancer Center, down in that basement area where we had the infusion lab, I think the Spirit of God came out in me more than
yes.
even I realized.
Yes, yes.
And, I felt like I'm doing this because my mother couldn't or wouldn't. Maybe she just couldn't, you know. I don't know what happened in her early life. So maybe it was something she could not say because for whatever her foibles were and whatever she had lived through. But I tried to turn that around and become the calm, quiet.
That's good.
Jesus leading to people that I could be.
That's excellent point right there.
That's what I've tried to do with my life. I've tried to make life fun. I've tried to make life real. You know, I stand for Jesus Christ. I will stand up with anybody and help them find him, lost or otherwise, because he isn't lost. He's temporarily misplaced by some folk.
Carol,
you know?
Connie has it.
I tried to take what was not given to me
right.
and turn it into a positive
exactly.
and give it back to other people.
Okay, Connie has comment on that.
My question is not a, how would we have ever, no matter how much Jesus you have in you,
right.
we're human. And so how would we ever have given a different response.
Right. The response that Carol gave?
Yeah.
No, we all understand
yeah.
and can relate to it.
Okay. So I just, I guess.
Look how Carol finished it up.
Right.
You didn't abandon your mother that day that she got in bed and said she was dying of cancer. Instead, you did just the opposite. You showed your love, right?
Right.
I tried to let her know in so many ways. You know, she couldn't say the words to me for whatever the reason. I mean, even from the time I was an infant, she couldn't say those words to me. And like I say, I don't know what was behind her background. Mm-hmm. But I had tried all through her life to, I guess I was always seeking her approval.
Yes.
You know, we do that. Because we want the attaboys on our butt that go, attaboy, attagirl.
Yeah,
we do. We want the little pat on the head that says, you're too cute, I just love you to death. Didn't hear those. So you try to find them. And for me, I have found that I have to take whatever is a negative to me, given to me, I have to turn it into a positive.
There you go, Carol.
So I can lose the negative.
There you go. And that's the point right here, that God loves us so much and accepts us exactly the way we are. And when we run into, and we all do, not if we run into, we will always run into difficult people who don't show us God's love. Yet God does not say, oh, that's okay. Love, that's just an option. In fact, one of our shows is Love Is Not an Option.
In his book, A Love
Worth
Giving, he loves you when no one else loves you. Others may abandon you, divorce you, and ignore you, but God won't love you always, no matter what.
Amen.
And I think when you, in my own personal experience in working with other people in the spirituality vein and working, I'm a work in progress, and, you know, to always try to understand, this happened, okay, how do I deal with it in a positive vein? Yeah. How do I take a negative event and turn it into something positive?
Yes.
And if I can take that event and turn it into something positive that will have a positive influence on someone else, I have negated that negative thought.
And Carol, you just did that today on this show. Mm-hmm. And listening audience,
absolutely,
none of this is ever planned. We don't know what we're going to say. We have a general idea in the Bible where we're going, and that's it. And we let the Holy Spirit totally lead. And Connie, I am believing right now that somebody out there in Radio Land, either today live or later on our website, needed to hear this about a mother not expressing love for that child. This is more common than we would ever want to know about, that there are so many people who don't express their love. Connie wants to comment, and then we got to get to the song or to the station ID in just a minute.
Well, I was deep in thought with after the service today, after your sermon, and trying to figure out how I could have done things differently. I have a couple situations where there are a couple people who are constantly in battling with me and and accusing and carrying tales to one another back and forth, and I started soul searching while you were during the sermon, and we were talking about, because I would never want somebody to think that if God is in me,
right,
that I could behave some of the ways that I have behaved. But and that's why I kept asking that question about how you would have responded differently, because I don't know. In the situation that I'm in, I had a huge shock that somebody was saying some things about me that I never would have ever imagined. And the other person, I know because of just of the situation, but and I think you know, how can I show Jesus's love, how can I show them love when I can't, I really don't want to be anywhere near them.
That is the question of the hour.
And I
you know,
don't
the question of the hour can be answered in several different ways. One is a little trite, silly little phrase. If they're talking about you, they're letting somebody else rest.
There you go. Yeah. Carol, with that thought, we got to do station ID right now. We're going to come back and start this next hour with this question after we do some cleanup here, right here.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Amen. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Global Ministry in Clearwater, Florida. And I'll tell you what, this discussion's getting very, very good here. We're glad you've joined us today. We invite you to become a part of this ministry. Some of you have been listening for years. Some of we've got listeners in Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio, Indiana, Georgia, scattered all over. We invite you to become a partner with us financially. We don't talk about money on this show. Hardly ever is it ever mentioned. And yet God always provides. Connie, there's not been one week that we haven't been able to pay our radio bill, and this is in our seventh year. Only God does that. And we are on the air as a step of faith and outreach to those who maybe don't have a local congregation where they can hear this type of explanation of God's word, in-depth teaching, chatting, great music. That's what we're all about. It's all about serving you with the word of God. And so if you want to, please, if your God is prompting you, I've had people say, God has told me that I'm supposed to give my tithes because I don't have a church I go to. He's told me to give offerings. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to the PayPal, give a donation, and your money goes directly to the radio ministry. That's what it's all about. www.beaconofhopeministries.com. We welcome you to become a financial partner and a prayer partner with us. Carol, you and PJ, Pastor Jim, you do such a great job about getting all the prayer requests out. And I just want you to give the prayer ministry a little explanation real quick. And before you do, the address for your prayer requests, the email address is a new one now, prayers@BOHM. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMGlobal.com. prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. Carol, who can use the prayer line and why would they want to?
Anybody that has an issue that is concerning them, worrying them, or something they would like to just shout to the world the praises, if they contact that prayer line, it comes to me. I guess it goes to Pastor Jim as well. And we jump on it as quickly as we can, usually within 20, 30 minutes, sometimes even faster than that. That prayer of request is sent out, and everybody that's on the Beacon of Hope prayer team and people they hand the written prayers to will pray for that individual or those individuals and the circumstances. We love to hear the praises as they come back. If somebody has a good medical report that was terrible prior to the prayer, we love to read and hear about that. So it's for everybody. If you're lonely, you don't have anybody to talk to, and you have questions, write them to us at Global Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we'll be happy to answer those for you. So we're a very powerful team. We have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And I always tell people, if you're down and out and don't know what to do, we're available for you.
Well, absolutely. We want people to use it. People do use it. Carol, I think our high water mark was about 2 or 3 months ago on a Saturday when you got a hold of me, and my phone was just clicking constantly as the emails were coming in. And I think you wrote for 18 separate incidents and people that day, prayers that day, 18 in one day. That's a lot of people reaching out for ministry and needing that prayer support. And we are so thankful to be able to do this, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It's a very important, viable part of the ministry. It's serving God in ways that we can from our homes, from our cell phones, from whatever iPhone, whatever you might have. God is available 24/7. He never shuts down. That you'll never see a close for lunch break. And by the same token, the prayer team is doing the same thing. I never close for a lunch break. If you know, that one Saturday, I did not move for six
I know.
Hours.
It was crazy that day.
And all I did was write prayers.
Yes.
And I can
and
say
it's
that...
Just, you know, it's... when it comes, it comes. But
right.
The world is changing. People are beginning to realize the end is closer than they ever thought.
Right.
And the times are becoming more and more disgusting and disheartening in so many ways, and dangerous in so many ways, and so many questions and so many prayers need to be fulfilled.
We need that prayer support. Connie, you have a comment about that.
What I was going to say is I appreciate your prayers that are attached, because sometimes when I, most of the time when I get them, because a lot of times are done at night and I'm at work. And so with the prayer attached, all I have to do is just finish reading the email and I've already prayed. So that's helpful for me. Not that I
Isn't it great?
Can't pray,
yeah.
But it's
just
easy.
Well, that's the purpose of the way I write them.
Yeah.
Now, Jim and I have two different styles. And so the purpose, when I write it, I know that some people find it difficult to say a prayer
sure.
for somebody, especially if they don't know them. And God has just gifted me with that ability. And so I write the prayers, and if somebody just reads the email, that's a prayer.
Amen.
You know, just to say in your mind or even out loud, Jesus, please take care of so-and-so.
Amen.
That is a prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
Or Jesus, thank you that the babies arrived safe.
Amen.
And that their mama's fine and daddy's still getting over the trauma.
Right.
But, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, those things are very, very important that we do. So,
amen. All right.
You know, Jesus offers us hope and healing and new life.
Amen. Amen.
God bless that come to him in faith. And for those that are faithfully serving him, we see the changes in our lives.
Absolutely we do. We're going to go on with our discussion in just a minute. So if you have a prayer request or want to be on the prayer team, write prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Great new song by Kathy Tricoli, or maybe it's not new.
Old.
Old song, Love One Another. Here we go.
Jesus said, A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You see, if we live as one in his name, we can tear down walls by his grace. For he also said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
That's one of my new favorite songs. Man, that is full of the Word of God, just scripture after scripture. I love that by Kathy Tricoli. That was Carmen reading the Word right there.
There's a bunch of others in there, too. I'm going to figure it out.
That is an amazing song. Love one another. It talks about tearing down those walls we're talking about. And Jesus, I love the fact that Carmen quoted the scripture there where Jesus said, you got to love one another. You really don't have a choice. It's not an option. We are having a fantastic discussion here on the Living the Good Life today with Connie and with Carol. And I want to take us to 1 John 4, look at verse 17, and then we're going to ask the question that Connie asked a minute ago before we had to do station ID. Verse 17 of 1 John 4, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, and we can do that, guys. We can take up permanent residence in a life of love. Then we live in God, and God lives in us. You got to understand that his whole nature is love. So we must work on this. We must walk in a godly, loving way. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Oh my, well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling, a fearful life. Fear of death, judgment is not yet fully formed in love. Here's the deal, Connie. We were talking about this before we went to the station identification break. You were talking about someone in your life that sees you in a judgmental way, criticizes you, doesn't see your heart. Believe me, I have lived this all my life in the ministry.
Doesn't want to see it.
Well, and I totally get what's happening here because, Carol, you and I being in the ministry all these years, you as a deacon, me in the pastoral role, we have seen people misunderstand our motives. They misunderstand our hearts, and that is motivated by the devil who is trying to stir up problems and stir up strife. And your question, now tell me if I'm wrong or please jump in here. Your question is, how do I love somebody? Go ahead, Carol, or Connie, go ahead, and then Carol, we'll get to you in a minute.
How can I respond in love when these things are so... The things that she's saying are so hurtful and
hateful
and critical and not want to just
rip her head off.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you.
Well, I mean, I'm not that kind of a person, but I would want to scream back or something.
Or try to explain and try to defend and become defensive. Mm-hmm. And it's a legitimate question, and I really feel like that's the nitty-gritty here. Mm-hmm. We can't do it in our own strength. But, Carol, I want your take on this.
I have one statement along with several more. This is the paramount statement for this second. It's not your job.
It's not your job to what?
It's not her job to try to struggle through all of the nonsense that somebody's throwing.
Right.
I've known Connie for a very long time, and I have never seen Connie not serve God. I have seen Connie walk through some ridiculous circumstances because she was serving God.
Right.
And people don't like it when you put yourself out there as a servant first.
Yes, they don't.
As a friend, a lover, a spouse, whatever it might be, employee second.
Right.
But in Connie's life, in your life, Pastor, and in mine, God comes first.
Right.
And if people find it hard to deal with that, it's not our job to straighten them out.
That's right.
Our job is to pray for them and put ourselves in a position always, always, always to show the peace, the calmness, the love, and the forgiveness that Jesus endows us with. And, you know, because some lips maim and hurt and seek to destroy you and to erode your character, when people hurt you, God says, come to me and feel the shelter of love in my arms. You serve me, God, and no other master.
You're so right, Carol. That is the answer, because
the
we can't
can
change people.
Any of the people I just mentioned, a work friend, a personal friend, a spiritual friend, a partner, a spouse, whatever.
And people do hurt us. And if you out there in the listening audience.
They do, because we're human.
Right.
But that's when we know. We have an upside on them. We can ask God to bring that peace back to us.
Right.
Now, see, they're not going to bow low enough to say, God, I made a boo-boo, I shouldn't have done what I did, and I want you to let me fall on my knees and ask for forgiveness.
And a lot of times those people that cause this kind of problem don't ever do that, or it's been my experience,
you know,
they don't.
And, you know, we like to go walking. All of us do like to walk and watch around the world and see all the beautiful things that God has created and due to different events and those kinds of things. But the first time we encounter something that stinks and we look around and go, what is that smell? And it's the smell of death.
Oh, yeah, like on a roadkill or something.
We're not going to walk up to it and go, oh, embrace this. Everybody come sniff this. Hurry, quick, before it goes away. What do? We run away from it as quickly as we can into the blue skies.
Right.
Beautiful flowers, the pleasantness of God. You know, Jesus has a smell to him.
Yes, he does. You're right.
We run to that smell because it's comforting. So, Connie, it's a cheap piece of advice. But don't walk in the stench anymore.
Yep.
You let it go.
You know what God is like.
That's right.
You know who God is.
He is love.
And you know what Jesus has planned for you, how he has saved you, protected you, loved you, fed you, clothed you, have happy spaces. And even in your dark spaces, which we all have as part of being human, he has been there. He never walked away and left you. And I have never seen you walk away to leave him, nor would I expect that of you.
And Carol, you are so right. You are a wise old woman, and I say that
almost 70.
Well, I say that respectfully, because this week you are turning the big 70, and that is totally amazing to me, Carol. Because
shocking to me, let me tell you. It's not amazing; it's shocking.
I know, but happy birthday from all of us.
I was 38 yesterday. What happened?
I know. You just turn around, and all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh! Happy birthday to you from all of us at Beacon of Hope, your church family, and we do love you so much and appreciate all that you contribute on the
air.
Thank
you for your word.
Yes, and that word is
welcome, because I've seen you so many times put so much of yourself out in various and sundry places and ways, and serving God in the ways that you know how. And certainly every child that you touch, every child that you pray for, all of those things are because God has empowered you with that deep, empathetic compassion, love, and forgiveness.
Amen, girl.
Nobody can tear you down.
Amen.
You're a child of God. And when somebody starts tearing you down, I've learned in my time, when somebody starts on me, and it's because of my spirituality that offends them.
Right.
And they start on me, I simply turn around and say, I appreciate what you're saying. I really do, because it just deepens me further. I run closer to the heart of God every time you say something disparaging to me or about me. So thank you for the impetus for me to get closer to my God.
But that's
you don't
the
care
answer.
If I use your line, do you?
Carol, that is
really,
the answer.
That's what it boils down to.
That
exactly.
is.
God wants
it
us to
does.
Say, you're my protector. If
right.
we say it, we got to believe it, and we got to practice it.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, and that's exactly the thing. And in these verses we just read in 1 John 4, 17, 18, there is no room in love for fear. In the NIV or the New American Standard, it says perfect love casts out fear. And when we start basking in, Carol, what wise word you just gave to Connie was spend more time in the presence of God. Here's what I heard, Carol. Spend more time in love with God, loving him more, praising him more, taking time in your personal relationship with the Lord to grow it. And
that's
those,
right.
Yes.
Mean, what does anybody else in your life have to do about you getting to heaven? Not
right.
a blooming thing.
Nobody.
Unless you relinquish your birthright.
That's right. And Carol,
you're not going to do that because
no.
I know two people who won't let you do that.
Absolutely not. And Carol, you
if
are
I
so.
Have to drive down there. I'm not beyond doing that.
I know. Even
we
if you're,
know.
Even if you're going to be 70, yeah, we know.
Yeah, you still
drive. Well, I'll take a slow train, so I'll get there.
But Carol, you are right in that we get so hung up in our daily lives on those that malign us, hate us, say terrible things about us, use us, then walk away from us. We get so hurt by all that, and it is human nature to get hurt by all that.
Yeah, but and it's caused by jealousy and envy.
It is, and it's also caused by that other person walking in a lot of fear. Fear
yeah.
that maybe they are not as cool as you are, or not as together as you are, or have the answers that you have. And a lot of times, you just said the word, the big J, jealousy. But
yes.
the cure for the big J is also the biggest J, and that is Jesus.
That's
and
right.
that's what has to happen in people's lives for them to come
you
out
know,
of some of that.
I mean, I use a cane. People think, well, you use a cane because you've got a bummed up leg. Well, I have two, first place, not just one. But I use that J because when I find myself getting frustrated or aggravated, that cane doesn't stay on the floor. It comes up into my hands about waist high and is turned upside down. And what's now facing me and facing the individual maligning me is that big, strong J made out of wood that Jesus Christ hung on.
And, Carol, I thought you were going to say that you like Maxine in the cartoon. Pick up the cane and just beat the heck out of the person.
No,
that is.
I hold it up as high as I can reach with it.
Now, oh, this, amen. Just so you're not beaten up.
Keeps me going.
Amen.
You see this letter, what is it? And somebody will be stupid enough to say, well, it's a J. I said, yeah. And it's the strength of Jesus Christ flowing through me right now that's keeping me from breaking this over your head.
Praise God. You know what? This couldn't have been a more perfect segue into this next song. But Carol, you're right. We've got to bring Jesus into the situations that are the most difficult in our lives.
That's
the
right.
people that
you
have
know,
hurt
when
us.
Looking at in Mark 2,
yeah.
22, it says, no one ever pours new wine into old leather
bags. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Otherwise, the new wine will break the bag.
Good point.
And the wine will be ruined along with the bags. But
right.
new wine should be put into new leather bags.
Right.
So if you have to carry different purses with you, take your troubles and put them in an old bag, throw that thing away, and take your good thoughts and your happy times and the love of Jesus Christ and place it in good wine, whether that be a good friendship with somebody, a personal relationship with somebody, or even a church that is you find not fulfilling you. You go put yourself into a good wine bag, and that wine bag is always going to be Jesus Christ.
Amen. So you got to run to Jesus when you're encountering persecution.
That's
Jesus
right.
even
That's what he tells us to do.
He did.
He says, come to me, all who
Amen.
Are weary and heavy laden.
And I'll now, give you
people,
rest.
I'm here to tell you that humanity can lay some junk on you.
Absolutely. But I tell you what. In Matthew 5, where Jesus said, rejoice when you encounter persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In fact, Connie, and for all of us, not just Connie, when we are persecuted and maligned and misunderstood and lied about and talked about, Jesus said, rejoice. He said, mm-hmm. rejoice. In fact, he said, jump for joy because
right.
your
you
reward is
right.
great in heaven.
It scares the devil out of the devil.
It scares the devil out of the devil. Oh, this song by Selah couldn't be any better. It is a new one. I haven't heard
yeah.
it, but I love the title. He'll hold you. So no matter what it is you are going through, he will hold you.
Very quickly, my theme song is I'll Rise Again.
Amen. Yep. There you go. He'll hold you.
Toss you to and fro.
road anymore. Your heart's been a washed up, a life shore, but you hold you through.
He'll hold you when the waves come crashing down. He'll get your feet on solid ground. This is the answer when we are up against a struggle. Shatters all our dreams, to quote another song. And it seems like everything is coming at you. You in Radio Land today, or listening to this broadcast at a later time, all of us together have these moments, Connie. I want to talk to you about this first, and then we'll get back to Carol. We have these moments where it seems like our world is falling apart, that this person and that person and maybe this other situation are so huge, we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't seem to see a way out of the misery, the pain, the misunderstanding, the hurt that we feel. And really, it's right here. He'll hold you in the midst of these. He's the great comforter. Talk to me, Connie.
Well, I remember a couple weeks ago, the sermon was about the truth, and the truth
yes.
will set you free.
Right.
And that what's done in the dark will come out in the light.
Amen.
I don't think that's scriptural, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But it's a...
Yeah.
But... And so I can say that in the last, given this situation, that in the last week or two, there's been things that have come out into
right.
the light.
Yeah. Amen.
And first
Amen.
Of all, since that sermon,
right.
I have just decided that, you know, I know who I am.
Amen.
I'm not going to listen to the
That's right.
all the comments and things.
Amen.
I probably prayed more than I've prayed in a long time.
Praise God. But, that's the answer.
And been in the scriptures and also, if I'm such a bad person, how is it that I'm so blessed?
Right.
Because I am blessed
right.
with all the things with my house,
right.
with everything that's gone on.
Right.
You know,
answer
I am
to prayer
blessed.
After
I'm
answer to
blessed.
Prayer. Absolutely.
And, you know, I have people in my life that love me and care
right.
about me. And,
yes.
But yet now, as things are coming out and becoming clearer,
right.
I don't want to seem cocky, but I feel like I'm standing on top of the world.
Amen.
Because I know
you are.
Because you are.
Because I know that, I remember when I was little and something would happen and I'd get in trouble. But it wasn't something that I had done. But the feeling that I had at trying to prove that I was not wrong. Or that I didn't do it, that I wasn't guilty.
Right.
You know, of the things that I was being accused of.
Right.
It, And for children, it's really hard to get adults to understand that
right.
concept because, you know, adults are adults and they're the ones in control. And I think that's how so many kids get abused
right.
in their life because they, you know, they're taught about parents and people, adults being in authority. And some people abuse that authority.
Right. Absolutely.
But in order to, you know, in order to clear yourself or feel like you've been vindicated. And I know that not always do we ever live to know that we've been vindicated.
Right.
But I think in times when it's God and it's Jesus showing his love for you.
Right.
That he can make things clear to you. And it, when the pieces come together, like they have for me in those last couple weeks, it's a whole different life for me. It's totally different. And
well, you stand up, you square your shoulders, and you know that you're a child of God. He yeah. loves you, and he's bringing the answers you need in just the right moment.
His timing is not mine.
His timing is not our timing. But, you know, Connie, you, like Carol today, have just bared your soul here talking about the personal feelings that mm-hmm. you have, knowing that there are those that do come against us, and we all mm-hmm. have it,
right.
you know?
Your saving grace, Connie, is the fact that you can look in the mirror.
Yes.
You can grab your Bible,
yes.
hold it up, and look in the mirror so you can see yourself, and you can say, I am redeemed.
Amen.
And that is all you need to be concerned about. It, you know, whoever else and whatever else the situation is on them.
Right.
It is not on you because you've been redeemed.
Well, and it's not for me to go to that person to say, I know what you did.
Right. You let God take
well, honey,
care of it.
The yeah. minute they thought it.
Yeah.
Right. And they know. They know it.
Thought to some people. The very minute that negative thought came into their mind, Jesus knew it. And he was already putting up barriers to protect you. That might seem like, well, sometimes I think he just doesn't move quite fast enough. He moves in his own time.
Boy,
in
isn't
his own way.
It's slow-mo time, if you
and
ask me.
Sometimes it's slow-mo because we need a chance to take a deep breath, sit back,
right.
review the situation, and go, you know, this is bigger than me. I cannot deal with somebody
right.
else's negative. It's not my job.
Right.
It is the Lord's job. So, therefore, I will do what he has told me to do, to boldly put my life in his hands and let God do the miracle.
Woo, Carol, that's right on.
Well, and
Connie,
sometimes, you know, you feel like, as I look back on all this, I think that the time frames, if you want to call it his slowness to respond, was because he wanted to see how I was going to act.
That's exactly.
Right.
It was another test.
Time
yeah.
to rectify the situation if we can. If we think we need to, and 90% of the time we don't need to, because we're not responsible for what comes out of somebody else's mouth.
Right.
You know?
But in the meantime, we're learning to trust God.
It gives us that time because it's a kick in the gut. Any way you look at
yeah, it
is. Got kicked in the gut.
Yeah. Right.
So you need to take a deep breath, sit down, and say, you know, that didn't feel good.
Right.
But yeah. I know
You're
how
right.
I can get through this.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
Carol, you're right. It is.
It because they pick up scripture.
Right.
People who are not Christians get through it with drugs, alcohol, sex, 900 other things.
Exactly. Fighting.
You know?
And.
But we know how. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that he is still on the throne.
Amen.
That he still loves us, that he cares for us, and he shows great compassion to us.
Yes.
You know, when he's touching us all the time, he places angels unaware in our paths.
Well, that song we just played, he'll hold you. He'll hold you in these difficult times.
He uses so many ways to reach us.
Yes.
So many
yes.
ways to talk to us.
Yes.
All the time saying, you're fine.
You're fine. Amen. Connie,
well, I just,
speak to
I
that.
Just, that whole, that song, he'll hold you, that's going to have to be my song for a while.
Because, it will. That's okay.
Because, yeah, because like I was telling you earlier, as I prepare this music, I don't always hear. I listen to the song and I get the gist of it, or I know the song, but every single time, especially when I'm sitting in the studio, but as I listen to the show, wherever I'm at, those songs, I hear stuff in, I hear things in those songs that I never heard before.
And that's God ministering to you.
Because you didn't need him before.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You didn't need him before. Now you need it. And you're, but you know, Connie.
And so now I have an arsenal to use.
That's right.
To give to other people when I need to make a CD for somebody.
Right.
That I know, and I know things that are going on with them. I can add those songs.
Yes, you can. And that's a ministry as well. You see,
absolutely.
You are not stopping serving God because somebody wanted to kick you in the gut.
Yeah. Right.
You're just saying, I'm doggone determined to do it better now because my ears have been opened.
Yep.
But, Carol, that's exactly the point I was making a minute ago, and I think we need to go back to this. We need, as children of God, whether we're being persecuted right now or have been or will be, which we will be, is to stand up tall with our shoulders, you know, back and say, look, I am filled with God's love. I can learn to respond to this situation in the power and love of God, even though I would love to go tear somebody up verbally and mm-hmm. let them know how they're hurt me, how they've hurt me or hurting me or whatever. And God's love will cause you to reach out with grace and mercy when
you know,
they don't deserve it. You know,
it just came to me that when people are talking bad against the people who worship God so much and try to follow his ministries, one of the best comebacks I guess we could ever say to them is, you know, if they're standing in front of us or we get rumor of whatever's going on, and when, if somebody says, well, what do you think? What are you going to do? Simply say something like, well, you know, it's not me they're hurting. They're speaking against God because
right.
he picked me to right. do this ministry or to do this event or to be where I am today.
Well, that's true.
He's always with me. So you're not attacking me, honey. Please understand you're not attacking me. You're attacking Jesus Christ. And he has a pretty
oh,
big
boy.
Army.
That's strong mm-hmm. argument right
yeah.
there, Carol, because
absolutely.
God lives in us. We are the containers, the vessels. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4, where it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, you know, and that the power is not us, it's God in us.
That's right.
We can't love these unlovely, difficult people.
You know,
only
by making our own changes,
right.
we're still weak and we're still
right.
incomplete.
Right. And but God can love them through us
yes.
in ways that and one of the ways is to take a stand and say, okay, devil, you're not going to get to me through this difficult person. You're not going to bring me down and drag me into depression, discouragement, defeat. I am not allowing it because God's spirit lives in me. God, I am full of love. I don't care if they say I'm full of hate. It doesn't matter. I'm full of love because God lives in me. He lives in me, you know?
Right. And we are seen, and how many times have we all, the three of us, all walked through that valley of deep death where somebody has said something, maligned us, tried to discredit us, or whatever is done. And if we do nothing more in our own life than to pray that psalm, the 23rd psalm, it reminds us that there is a green meadow on the other side,
Amen.
Over the hill, down in the valley,
Woo!
And we're walking toward it.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Betty just sent an email. Connie, read it. What does she say?
She says, Connie, you're an overcomer. You're a child of the King. You are on top of the mountain, my sister. Jesus will help you stay there. We're praying for you. Today's tests are tomorrow's testimonies.
Woo! Today's tests are tomorrow's testimonies.
And
praise
you know, you
God.
You cannot have a testimony without a test.
That's right. exactly right. And,
you know,
and
I've said this many times because there was a Assembly of God pastor in Lakeland who used to say that, Reverend Carl Strader, and he'd say, people from the pulpit, he would say, you cannot have a testimony if you have not had a test and walked
Amen.
Through it successfully.
Amen. And even this with the twins, my great-granddaughters, that was a test of faith for our whole congregation and so many people that were agreeing with us in prayer that my granddaughter could carry them to a point that they would be okay and deliver safely, which is what she did. And that was a testimony, and it did try our faith, but we believed God for the answer. That's what we're talking about. So when we have these difficult people in our lives, we have got to run to the shelter. You know, I just got rained on really bad in the last couple weeks. Connie, I know Georgia, Carol, you just keep telling me all about the rain. But, Carol, you guys are sitting in your house a lot of times, and I'm out showing homes. And I left my favorite umbrella in some restaurant, and I've called around, and everybody says they don't have it. So I guess I need to break down and buy a new umbrella.
A new
no,
favorite.
You don't. You simply say, Lord, you know I need that umbrella. And I need it
good
today.
Point.
So would you please help me remember where
it is.
Put it.
Yeah, I've called. And
it'll
it's,
be there.
Well, and then I had a replacement. I had a backup in my car, and I went to open it the other day in a rainstorm, and it just broke all to pieces. So the point is, there are times that the rain comes, and it hits us, mm-hmm. okay? And the junk happens, and a storm, perhaps. But God is always there to hold us, dry us off with a nice, fluffy, warm towel, and be there as we hang out in his presence. Connie, comment on that, and then we're going to get Carol's take on that.
I like that warm, fluffy towel idea.
Yeah, it's his, he's our comforter.
He is. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through or what you've done.
Right.
He loves us no matter
he
what.
He loves us.
So, you know, I've said some unkind things about that person that's attacked me, or might as well say attacked. And he still loves me.
And he forgives us.
And he forgives
when
me.
We retaliate, when we react in our humanness, he forgives us. We got to run to the shelter, the stronghold of God, his presence. I love what Psalm David says in Psalm 56, 3 and 4, and I quoted it this morning. When I am afraid, you know, because we are afraid of people's retaliation. We're afraid of their evil tongues. We're afraid of the junk they throw at us. But David said in Psalm 56, 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Mm-hmm. Okay? We've got to run to the shelter. David talks about it all the time. The granite hideout. I love it. We love to see granite on the kitchen cabinets now in all these homes that I'm in all the time as a realtor. And granite is the... it's the primo. That's what everybody wants. Granite, it is strong. You can't destroy it. It's there. The granite hideout in the Message Bible. That's the presence of Almighty God. Carol, comment. Well, I didn't see what time it was. Let's do this song, Carol, and then we'll come back to you in just a minute. And this is In the Presence of Jehovah. And I love this song, too, by Chanda Pierce.
In and out of situations, that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers.
the answer. Hanging out in the presence of Almighty God. When people hurt us, and they will. When people disappoint us, and they will. When relationships fail, when family members turn on us, when work has its obstacles, when people at work don't like us or are jealous of us, all of those things are part of daily living. We must run to the presence of Jehovah, Almighty God. That song, we did it this morning at Beacon of Hope. It's been on my heart all week. When troubles come, in the presence of Jehovah, troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the Lord. Carol, I cannot believe that 2 hours is almost gone. We've only got...
No, it doesn't seem possible, no. But that's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves.
And the Holy Spirit has moved mightily today, Carol. Wow. I thank you and Connie both for being so open and honest about real life. We couldn't have scripted this show any better. And Carol, give us a summary of what people can take away here, what they need to do with these things when life gives us these difficult people and difficult situations.
We have one obligation and one obligation only. We are to run to the shelter of Jesus Christ's loving arms.
Amen.
He loves us. He protects us. He teaches us. Even when situations are bad for us and people turn against us for whatever the reason, jealousy or envy or out of love or whatever it might be, we still know that he accepts us. He put his fingers on us and touched us, just as that famous portrait of he touching Adam for the first time. Every time I see that photograph, or that big, is made now into a big picture to hang over your living room sofa,
right.
I look at it in the art stores, and that isn't Adam he's touching, it's me.
Yes, yes.
And when Jesus Christ touches you,
right,
no one else can harm you.
Woo!
While you may lose your physical body to death, your soul has been saved.
Amen.
And that's the goal.
Amen. And we've just got to learn to put things in better perspective and realize that if somebody is reaching out in that kind of anger and hostility and bitterness and lies and deception, unfortunately, what they put out will come back to them. It's that boomerang thing.
You know, Cora Ten Boom, that very strong, firm Christian,
right,
World War II, used to say, when the train goes through a tunnel and the world gets dark, do you jump out? Of course not.
Right.
You sit still and trust the engineer to get you through.
Oh, praise God. And that's what we got to do.
You have an engineer.
Amen.
No kidding.
And you know him.
Amen. Yep. Amen, Carol, those wonderful words of wisdom. Connie, comment on what she had to say. Because it's. I just thank both of you for being so gut-level honest today. And I think that, we always try to do that on the show, but this was very, very difficult stuff that came up today.
Well, I mean, it's something that's been on my mind, obviously, for a while. And I was trying to figure out what to do, and Holy Spirit just said, you know, talk about it here.
Right.
Let people know.
You know, I learned a long time ago, Connie, I cannot beg anybody to love me.
Right.
Nope.
You know, I've had a couple of relationships that I look back on now and go, where was my brain?
Right.
But I had to teach myself after the second relationship just fell completely to the bottom. And I thought, what am I supposed to learn from this, and how am I supposed to learn?
Good point.
And the first thing I had to learn is I don't need to seek anybody. God will send them to me.
Right. Right.
And whether that be somebody looking, you know, for a job or for a place to live or whatever it is I might need, I don't need to go out and seek it. I need to ask him about it, tell him I'll accept what he sends.
Trust in him.
And accept what he sends as being truth and honest. You know, Jesus is truth.
Amen.
He's not about a lie.
He's spirit and truth. And yes, and Jesus, I love that, Carol. That's a good point. He's full of grace and truth. And yes, that's back to the trust thing. We got to learn to trust God for these difficult people in our lives, these difficult situations. Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, it's not like he didn't know that all this was going to happen.
Right, he does
know. And so I usually try to look at things from the perspective of what I'm supposed to learn from it.
Right.
But sometimes when it hurts,
yes,
when it's so hurtful, it's hard to see the forest for the trees.
That is. I agree. So.
Right, but remember one thing, Connie. God will never hurt you.
Right.
Right. So right. It's not coming from God.
Right.
I know that. He will never hurt you. If anything, every time we get hurt, whether it's a physical boo-boo, emotional, spiritual, whatever, he's standing there with his arms open and saying, I'm waiting for you.
Amen. Yep. Amen, Carol. That is it.
Amen.
Woo! Wow, this has been a great show. Fast 2 hours, and this is life-changing. And, you know, tell somebody about this show if you listened live today. And tell them to go to our website and catch it and catch this whole series. And it's really, we've entitled it Alive with Five. And if you think about it, these five chapters, we're coming alive because this stuff would, like we've talked about today, eat us up. Mm-hmm. When we don't feel a mother's love, or when we have somebody coming at us to the extent that that's happening to you, Connie, and to others. Mm-hmm. When these things happen, we have got to learn to trust God. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And
you know,
that's
we're not just physical beings. We're spiritual beings as well.
Amen. Yes, we are.
Once we leave here, this body is not transporting with us.
Right. It's, yeah. But it will be reunited with our soul and spirit someday.
But it'll be a good, healthy body and a good, healthy
Amen.
Soul.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Carol. You're just wonderful. We love you so much. Happy birthday from all of us.
Yes.
Thank you.
And enjoy your birthday.
Somebody else is having her birthday next week, too.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
somebody with spiky black hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Leah and Briley are going to turn a week old on Tuesday, so yeah.
GG.
Yeah.
Great grandma.
But anyway, I thank God for all of you listeners. You're wonderful. We want to hear from you. You can write me directly, pastor@bohmglobal.com. I'll answer you. pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim is pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can reach Carol at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Connie can be reached there also. prayers@bohmglobal.com. We want to hear from you. If we can help you in any way, that's what we want to do. We invite you to our services. If you're in the Clearwater area, come and visit. We are currently in temporary location looking for a permanent home, and we will find one soon, but we are currently in the Marmada Inn at 3580 Almerton Road. Come in the front door on the right of the building, and we have our own separate entrance. It's a nice facility. We are looking for our own space again, and we believe God for that to happen. We invite you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and check out all these radio shows that we have there, and also check out all of what we stand for, what we believe. It is all there. There's a lot of pictures that Maxine, our dear webmaster, has put in our photo gallery, some fun events over the last few years. So just go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to become a financial partner with us, please take the time to go to that website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal and give a donation. We the ministry needs those donations to keep this radio outreach ministry going. But God, as we've said, always pays the bills. So you can be a part of the blessing that will come to you as a result of planting your tithes and offerings into the work of the Lord through Beacon of Hope. So God bless each of you. We hope you have a great week. And again, use our prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Until next week, this is Pastor Marcia, Connie, and Carol saying, it's not far to Jesus. He's right there waiting for you. Have a great week.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far.
It's not far.
It's not far. Not far.